Amen. Don't we need the Lord? Because without him, we are nothing.
Amen.
Amen. We want to praise God this morning. I was telling Pastor Gary and Rose during our meeting on Wednesday, I said, even the youth, we're going to celebrate Super Bowl this evening, right? And I know the bird that's supposed to be there, not there. But there's another bird that is there. So since you're part of the bird family, try and come and support this other bird. Since you can't make it to the Super Bowl, come and support this other bird. Because it's part of your family. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come and support the Seahawks. They're part of the Bird family. Probably next year you're going to make it. Hopefully. Just hopefully. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We thank you because you are our Creator, our Redeemer, our God. We thank you for this time of worship, Lord, even as we go through your word. We pray, Father, that you would just speak your word and that your word would go forth and not me, but you, O God, would be glorified through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so we continue with our series, Pursuing God. You know, for the past time, we've been talking about pursuing God, and Pastor Gary talks about the challenges, desiring God and following him closely. Possessing nothing, even as we follow God. And I spoke on removing the veil, self-veil, from our lives. And last Pastor Gary spoke about chronic unbelief as Christians. How does that affect us? And last week he talked about God is here and speaking. But so many times we're on the run and we get so distracted. And we forget to pause and just allow God to speak to us. And today, we want to talk, as we look at pursuing, we want to look at faith and creator-creature relationship. Faith. The Creator, who is God, the creature with us, our relationship. How is it faring? How is it looking like today? And as we speak, we want to look at our internal truth. We said true spiritual life is maintained by directing the heart's attention toward God and developing a continual habit of looking to God in dependence and submission amid life's distractions. Even as we desire to pursue God, we have to come to the point that as we let go all those things that are holding us, we have to pursue God not just one day, but complete dependence on him. You know, the book we're reading is a very powerful book. And as we read the book, Tozer, it's like all that he wrote years back. It's like he just wrote the book yesterday. Because everything that is happening, you can see that is happening around us, everything that he's saying. And those things that he says in his book is things that we struggle with even as we walk with God. We struggle to walk with God. And so today, as we look at our passage, we want to look at first faith. Now, faith, as we walk with God, requires faith, right? We want to look at the definition of faith from the biblical standpoint, and we want to look at our author of the book, which Ted and tells us his definition. But you see, faith is one of the key words that is very important in our walk with God. It's very important in a sense that we cannot get closer to God without faith. We cannot carry on our spiritual journey without faith. We can do nothing without faith. This morning when we came, nobody thought that this chair, nobody feel that this the pew were going to break on there. Everybody just sat. Nobody checked on the CO. Right? So it's the same way to walk with God, to have a relationship with Him. There must be faith. You know, I was looking at this sign, but I never had a chance to take the picture of it. It said, faith is the door to God. So we stand here, and the door is in the middle. That's faith, and God is on the other side of the door. So in order for us to go to God, we have to pass through faith. And the other sign I saw again, it said, faith is the vehicle to God. The human is standing on the side, the vehicle is in the middle, which is faith, and God is on the other side. So in order for us to get to God, we have to get in our vehicle, which is faith, and get to God. And I looked at it and said, wow, that's interesting. So in essence, there is nothing we can do without faith as believers. So we want to look at faith as being defined. Now, when we were reading the book, I read the book, we were discussing, and the author said, there is no definition of faith. Because the definition the Bible gives, it talks about action, right? Let's look at it quickly. The spiritual definition said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you want to, what? How is it that faith, and we go further down, the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please God. So that means your action, your life should be in an action mode to do what God expects of you so that God will be pleased of your doing. But I like, even though Hebrew have this definition, but I like our author of the book we're reading, what he says about faith. And this is why he says that. In that he said, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Now, the word gaze, it means the what? See, right? You gaze at something, look at. Oh, if you went into the store, you passing by, you say, oh, this thing look good. I got to buy it. No matter how much it costs, you want to pay for it. You look at it, it caught your attention, and it's like, this thing is value. I got to purchase this thing. So he said, in a sense, what he's saying is that it's an act of directing your heart. The heart, you're not having faith with your eyes. He's saying it's with your heart. Your heart is directed, tuned to God. Your heart is tuned to God. And not only that, but he gains your attention. Your whole attention is to God. So he's saying that you see God with your heart. You see God, you're experiencing God with your heart. And if you're experiencing God with your heart, that means you have to look at him, which we're going to talk about later. Focusing on him with your heart. And it's kind of difficult because he says that, look at the bottom line I wrote there. He says in his book, on page 91, he said, faith will get me anything, take me anywhere in the kingdom of God. But without faith, there can be no approach to God, no forgiveness, no deliverance, no salvation, no communion, no spiritual life at all. And he says that faith is believing a promise, taking God at his word. So when the scripture said, without faith, you cannot please God. So it's up to the scene saying, if your heart is not directed to God, if you're not seeing God from your heart, because the scripture said no man can see God, right? And we'll talk about that later. Because the day you see God, he says, you will die. So that means until we can die, go to heaven, then we'll see God. So how do we approach God? How do we get closer with God? And this is where faith comes into place. Not with the physical eye, but with the heart. And when we kind of put our heart to God and seize him from our heart and accept God from our heart, not just from see, because we cannot see him, as the scripture said, is the substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping, I'm believing that I'm a child of God, that I'm born again. And he said that it's the evidence, Paul wrote that, he said, the evidence of things not seen. So to work those two out, the heart and the seeing, we want to take a look at that this morning. Help me, okay. And this is where we're going to look at what faith involves. What does faith involve? And my question is, how does faith work in deepening our relationship with God? If we want our relationship to be genuine with God, if we want to have that relationship with God for ourselves, how does faith help us? How does it? First, our faith involves active focusing, looking, and believing. You know, I was telling Pastor Garrett, can anybody determine what where that photo is? Can you tell where that photo is, that the arrow right there? Huh? Memorial? To your house? You didn't say to a house. Yeah, is this street right here? Sunset. It's Sunset. Now, imagine you driving. If you're not focused driving rightly, what's going to happen to you? In this snow. You didn't say don't go to a house if you miss the road. You have to remain focused, right? You can't be on a phone and driving on this kind of a road. The next thing, you're going to slide off the road. And as we look at this passage, we want to look at Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 6. And this is what it says. They say, then they journeyed from Mahora, which was read by Deacon Moses, beautiful. They said, by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, and they came to Mahara. And while there, look what happened. And it said, and the people spoke against Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water. Imagine God feeding them, doing everything, but here they are. They're crying, no food, no water, and are so lost in this wealthy bread. They were eating manna. Imagine eating one thing over and over. Some of us, we don't eat one food for a week, right? Hello? But imagine you in the wilderness, you're eating. If you're eating mac and cheese every day, which my wife can prepare very good, I would tell her, hey, I'm tired of mac and cheese in this house. But they ate manna every day, and they complained to Moses. And guess what? It angers God. And said, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. God got angry with them because Now I appreciate eating mac and cheese every day. And I'm complaining. It's like, oh, we're going to eat mac and cheese. And God get angry. Oh, Fernanda get angry. And she said, oh, you complaining? Boom. Get in the kitchen. But God got angry. Let's see what he did in the next verses. He said, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Now look what God did. He said, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fairy serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he what? Looks at it, what shall happen? I was reading there and I was thinking, I said, God says, he told the children of Israel, he said, do not worship no other beside me, right? But here is God giving Moses instruction. He said, create this serpent on the pole, this brass serpent, put it on the pole, and let the people look at it. But here's the thing. Even though they were looking at the serpent, they did not believe in the serpent. They were believing in who? God. They didn't. It wasn't the serpent that was bringing them healing. It was God who was bringing them healing, because they knew they spoke against who? God. They never spoke against the serpent. They spoke against God, and because of that, God brought the serpents, the venomous, poisonous serpents to bite them, and most of them would die. But here's my point, right? Because faith involves looking and believing, they look and trusted God that they will be healed, because it was God who told Moses to put the serpent on the brown serpent on the pole. And they believed that. And it worked in, because if they had taken the eyes off the snake, what would have happened to the brown? They would have died. But they believed God's word. And look in there and say, Moses made the brown and put it on the pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the brown serpent, he lived. So faith involved not only with our heart, but also looking. That's why Paul says in the book of Hebrews, he said, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he said, looking up to who? Jesus. Who is the what? The author and the finisher of what? Our faith. So, even though they look, but our looking as believers, if we have faith, we're not looking at our circumstances, we are not looking at things around us, because guess what? Those things will distract us from focusing on God, from getting closer to God, from pursuing God. Even though self-sin that holds us back, if we focus on that, it's going to hold us back. But that's why I said, if we look unto Jesus, it is Jesus who is able to carry us through, will enable us to come closer to him. Even though there will be obstacles, there will be trials and what have you, but when we look up to him, when our faith is in him, it helps us even in the midst of distractions. It helps us even in the midst of distractions. And not only looking, but we have to look with endurance, because there may be trials, there may be persecution, there may be chaos in our life, physically, spiritually, but when we focus our eyes on Jesus, Paul said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's what we need to do. If we want to get our relationship with God, that means we have to focus on him, not anything around us, not anything that's going to distract us, not our family, not our friends, but on Jesus Christ. And it involves a look of faith to God, because he has the power to save us. And this look is not just looking and turning. It's not just looking and turning. Let me go to the next one. It's not just, it's a continuous nature look in there. Not one time we look at God or look, focus our attention on Jesus. When things are difficult, we look. No. But ongoing, as long as we live, as long as we have life in us, it's not a season moment to pause. Remember Peter, Jesus came walking on the water, and the disciples on the boat, and they were afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if you allow me to come." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter got on the boat, and as he starts to walk, he took his eyes off Jesus and started to look at the waves, the sea rolling, and fear came over him, and he starts to sink. Whenever we take our eyes off Jesus, we find ourselves heading in the wrong direction. So our looking is not just in the asset, it's an inward focus. That means it's involved turning one's inward eyes, which is your heart, from our self-centeredness, from our self-sin, toward God. Because guess what? Sin will cause us to be distracted from pursuing, from looking towards God. Sin will want to separate us from God. But if we must endure, we must keep focused on God as we look on Him. And there, guys, I said faith over sight, in a sense that the act required trusting. Now, the children of Israel, when they look at the brown snake planted on the pole, they were not, like I said, it wasn't the serpent they believed in. It was just a symbol of the very thing that would destroy them. And God, by His grace, brought them life. You know, during COVID, I was talking to some of my friends and said, this vaccine that is coming, I don't trust it. I'm not going to take the vaccine. I said, well, and I use this passage. I said, can you imagine the children of Israel in the wilderness that disobeyed God, and God told, brought poisonous snake to bite them, and they were dying. And mind you, the only thing they had when God told Moses to prepare this serpent, this brown serpent, and plant it, their only hope was to look at it, to live. So, and I told him, I said, if the vaccine is my only hope to survive, I'm going to take it. I trust God. I believe God, but God ain't going to come from heaven and bring me a special vaccine for me to take. He made doctors, gave them knowledge, and if this is going to work for me, I'm going to take it. Amen. That's faith. I believe that it's going to work, and it worked for me. And I tell you, right? Praise God. I never called for COVID. The entire COVID, I never called it. My entire family called it, but I never called COVID. So it's like, I have more faith than them, right? But what am I saying is that God is the only one we can put our trust in. Not anything else but God. The only one who we can put our trust in. And in the verse, where Numbers chapter 21 that we just read, verse 49, faith is depicted as looking to God for salvation in the midst of chaos and what we find ourselves going to. After complaining, God brought chaos on them, and God used the brown serpent so they can look at it and trust in Him. And God used that to save their lives. And God can use anything to bring us closer to Him, even if we doubt, if we don't believe. Now, even though this happened in the Old Testament, but Jesus spoke about it in the New Testament. And this is where we want to look at believing, as we talk about faith. Help me not go to the next slide. Yeah. Jesus spoke those things, and when he talked about this, that was when he was speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man who knew the scripture. He knew everything, but the Bible says he came to Jesus, confused. But yes, what Jesus says, and Jesus told him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whoever what? Believes in him should not what? Perish. But have what? Eternal life. Now, here's the thing. Faith is not only seeing, focusing, but it's also action in what? Believing. You must put your faith into action. Now, I know God can do it, but forget it. You are doubting right there. You're not believing right there. If you will believe in God, even if it doesn't work, believe that God still has the power to make the difference. And that's why he said that whoever believes in him, that is in Jesus Christ. Now, the serpent was the brown serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, but Jesus is saying that he gonna be lifted up on the cross. And whoever believes in him shall not perish. And you know, there are passages in the Bible when you read, it kind of makes it impossible to say, wait, God want me to do a couple of things that, which is, it's not there. Let me go back. But there are passages like in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It's kind of impossible to say when Jesus said, when God said, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He said, how would God say I should be perfect? And then he says in the book, in the scripture, he said, my righteousness is like a filthy rag. So God, how am I going to be perfect? That doesn't seem possible for me, right? But guess what? Paul also says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, he tells us that we ought to know what surpasses knowledge, which is the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Is it easier for me to experience that, to know that? It's difficult. But here's the thing. With all of these things that sometimes you read in the Bible, you get confused. How am I going to do this? God, I'm not like this person who is strong, who can pray, who can do this. I'm a weak vessel. I can't. But here's the thing. Paul says this in a book of Romans chapter 11, verse 32. He said, while we will never plumb the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, we will not understand God's knowledge. We will not fully get to the point where we understand. But here's the thing about faith, right? Faith doesn't require you to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Faith doesn't require you to pray for 21 days before you get saved. Faith doesn't require you to have a biblical or a theological degree before you get saved. It only requires you to just believe. That's all. Just believe. That's all you need to do. There's no requirement to say, you have to earn this, you got to do this, you got to do that. Oh, no. It's just very simple. Believe. When you believe in God, it supersedes everything. Because guess what? When God gets ready to do what he wants to do, he's not looking at your degree or looking at your background or the world. He's looking at you as his child and treat you as his child. You know, I like what our author wrote in his book there. He said, faith is an easy access to everything. Look what he said. First, you don't need special equipment or skills. No, you don't need special. He said, in second, he said, this is not seeing, believing, looking. It can't do anything. Not only that, faith, just as time does not matter, neither does the place matter. What is he saying? You can believe in God, you can have faith in God on Easter Sunday or on a regular Sunday. You can believe in God at your house and get saved, or you can be in a store and believe in God. So there's not a special place to ask, gain faith. So in all that, it makes it so easier that we can get closer to God without going through any complication or without going to. And here's the thing, right? Our faith, the chairman of our board, the same access he has to God is the same access that any other person has. We, pastor, we don't have a special, what should I say, special favor at God's heart than even those of our people that work in the food pantry. The same opportunity that everyone has, it goes to everybody. And that's what makes the access of faith so easy, that you don't have to do anything. It doesn't require anything on your end. All is required is believe. Look at Christ Jesus, accept him. And when you pursue him, guess what? You're going to find him. Amen? Amen. There is nothing that requires us in order to get closer to God. The more I come to know God, the more I spend time with God, like Paul says, I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter the obstacle, no matter what I find myself going, no matter what the devil tried to do against my life, he will not succeed, because the one who holds tomorrow holds my life. He guides me. He's the provider. He does everything. So I'd rather have my faith and get closer to him than anything in this life. You see, as we grow deeper and more intimate in our relationship with God, we come to know the heart of God. We come to know his value. We come to know his tendency of who God is. That is, you believe your faith in him to the extent that even when there are some things that are going on, you will have that spiritual awareness and that spiritual red flag will be showing. You say, I don't think that is right. You have that discernment to know that this is not right. And because of your relationship with God, because of your closeness to God, even when somebody is sharing certain things of their life, and you will recognize it, that thing has to be God involvement in it. That's how you get to understand when you are closer to God. And here's what God has done. God has made the most vital thing, which is faith, easy. Guess what? It's not on the tortoise shell where, because I'm short in my house, there are certain places I can't reach. I'll call my wife. Friend, please can't help me. But guess what? Faith is not on a higher shelf where you will have to get on a ladder, on a stool to reach. It's on a lower shelf that everyone can just grab it. That's the easy access to faith. You don't have to maneuver your way. It's on the lower shelf. It's available. You don't have to make an appointment for it. You don't have to do all those things. All you need to do is just reach there. It's available to you. Because bear in mind, the scripture says, without faith, we cannot please God. So that means we all need to reach out and get faith and not doubt no matter what is going on in our lives. You know, Tozer spoke certain things in the scripture. Let me go back. He says, if we focus on God and not ourselves, we will see what God wants us to see. When we focus on God and not ourselves, it shouldn't be me. Let it be God first. Let God be the forefront of everything first. If He's at the forefront and He does everything, we will not see ourselves working. We will see God working in our situations. If we focus on fixing and bettering our own lives, if we plan it, this is how I want it to be done. This is how I want my life to be. This is how I'm going to do this. Without asking God to be involved, guess what? It's only become more self-involved and not God being involved. And that leads to failure. It doesn't lead to success. It leads to failure. So, as we look at this, how can we apply faith in our creator and creature relationship? How is your relationship with God? Who is your creator? As you pursue Him. So we're going to look at your creature relationship. Have you come to that point and said, I'm confident of my relationship with God? I know where I stand. I'm ready for God. Even though I don't want Him to call me right now. But it all comes down to the creature. Yes, the starting point. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 18 to 19, right? It talks about the prodigal son. This young man decided that he wants to go out on his own and be and live the freedom that he thinks he never had at home with his family. And his father gave his riches, gave him everything. And he walked away. And guess what? He lavished everything. And life turns upside down for him. He came to the point in his life that he realized that he was not focusing on Christ. He was not looking. He was not believing. He was trusting in himself. And now, because it was all self, life had turned around against him. And this is what he says. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He's coming home to his father. That was his plan. That's the script he wrote down, that when I get to my father, this is what I'm going to tell him. Seeking forgiveness. But here's the thing. When he went to his father, the father didn't listen to his script. Instead, the father was excited. The father went and embraced him. While he was trying to apologize to his father, listen, he didn't have time. The father didn't have time for that. The father was excited that he came home.
And because he came home, the father was willing. He ordered his servant to bring the best robe to put on him. And the father said, we're going to celebrate. And he still, I believe, was trying to tell his father, listen, I want you to. Father didn't care about his powerful speech that he had ready. All the father cares was his back. And what happened is that relationship that was broken was now reconnected. This son has come home to this father. The father is excited to meet this lost son of his that have gone astray. And that's the question. How is it with our relationship with God? And just as the father accepted this prodigal son, Jesus said, God is willing to accept us just as we are. He's not going to look at our past. He's not going to look at our fault. He's going to take us, his arms are wide open, just like the father who decided to celebrate, brought the best robe for his son. This son who was gone astray, has gone astray, lost, but has come back. That's the relationship we ought to have with our God. And he's willing to accept us just as we are. And the relationship between God and Adam and Eve in the garden was broken. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God when they ate the fruit. Because the Bible said in the cool of the day, God will come and walk with them. But this time around, when they heard God's voice, they hid themselves. Because they have sinned against God. They did the wrong thing. And because of that, it brought punishment, separation between Adam and Eve. And that separation caused the life of Jesus to reconnect us. And that's why he says in the scripture we read earlier that he is the serpent on the pole, on the cross. And if we look and believe in him, whoever believes in him will be saved. That's the relationship. The creator and we, the creature. Christ has fixed that relationship when he went on the cross. But are we still struggling with our relationship with God? Have we come to the point where we look at every day we struggle? Every day we struggle. But have we realized that how much God is still willing to accept us just as we are? And that's why he sent his only son. In Psalm 57 verse 5, it says, be exalted, O God, above the heaven. Let your glory be above all the earth. And it's a point in time that God should be honored in our lives. God should be taking first priority in our lives. God should be exalted in our lives, not our friends. They may not like it, but let God be the first person to be exalted in our lives, not our family. We owe them nothing, but God should be exalted in our lives. He should be glorified in our lives. That will show our pursuit of him, our relationship with him growing daily. But if God is not exalted in our life, if our wife, our family, our children, our money, our job is exalted in our life, then we're putting God at the back. Then that's a problem with you as a creature, your relationship to the Creator, because he is not being exalted in your life. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory above all the earth. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30, it says, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father who walked before me forever, said, but now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will what? Honor. And those who despise me shall be what? Lightly esteemed. God wants to be honored in our life. Look at John chapter 12, verse 26. It says, if anyone who serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. This is what God wants from us, that he will be honored in our lives, in our day-to-day walk, in everything we do. And I want to close with the prayer that Hosea wrote. He says that, he said, oh God, be thou exalted over my possession. Not my possession, not me exalting my possession and everything. He said, be thou exalted. He said, nothing of earth's treasure shall seem dear unto me if only thou art glorified in my life. And look, he said, be thou exalted over my friends. I am determined that thou shalt be above all. Though I must stand deserted and alone in the midst of the earth. But he said, be thou exalted above my comforts. Even if you're uncomfortable, it's going to put you in that position where you feel uncomfortable. Let God be exalted. And he said, though it means the loss of bodily comforts and the carrying of heavy crosses, I shall keep my vow made this day before thee. Be thou exalted over my reputation. Make me ambitious to please thee, even if as a result I must sink into obscurity and my name be forgotten as I dream. And he says, rise, O Lord, into that proper place of honor, above my ambitions, above my likes and dislikes, above my family, my health, and even my life itself. Let me decrease that thou mayest increase. Let me sink that thou mayest rise above. Ride forth upon me as thou didst ride into Jerusalem, mounted upon the humble little beast, or caught the fowl of an ass, and let me hear the children cry to thee, Hosanna in the highest. That was Tozo written that, and that's the prayer. Can we give that prayer today? That God will be exalted over our lives, everything. Even as we pursue him, even as we want to build a relationship with God, to know him personally. Because if all these things is being exalted in our lives, then there is no place for God in our life as we walk with him. And God don't want to be second. He wants to be first. He wants to have control. He wants to take over. Because if he takes over, he got everything under control. It may seem rocket, it may seem difficult, it may seem strenuous, it may seem hard, but you are doing it for the right cause. And as we close, we want to go to our internal truth. Say, true spiritual life is meeting by directing the heart's attention toward God. God wants our heart. God wants our attention. He wants us more than we can ever think. And God wants, and that can only happen when we continue to develop that habit of looking to God independence, not on our own strength. Because on our own strength, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. Help us, O God, to have faith and live and walk with you and know you personally. And if you are here this afternoon and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, it just takes faith to believe in him and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Nothing else is required.
There's nothing hard that you have to do. Just believe in him. And he can accept you just as you are. You can see us at the end of the service, and we can pray along with you. And for any other person who needs prayer, says, I need prayer to help walk this journey, you can see us also, and we can pray along with you. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. The praise team is going to come and lead us into our closing hymn. We can all stand together.
We struggled. How do I put that all together? And I just want to encourage us this week. I don't know what your week's going to bring. I don't know what my week's going to bring either. But what Pastor Anthony's trying to communicate from God's word is, you know what? Whatever it's going to bring, I'm going to look to God. And I'm going to trust him that he's going to get me through whatever it is that ails me. We can look and we can trust him. And by the way, that idea of that creature-creator relationship, he's the creator. He's got all the power. I'm the creature. I need him every single day. Amen. And I look to him in every day to give me exactly what I need to bring him glory and exalt his name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thanks for your word. Thanks for Pastor Ansu, Lord, just explaining it, challenging us, Lord, to look to you truly, Lord, in faith. When we don't understand, when we don't know, when we are looking for answers and looking for power and looking for help. I pray, dear God, that we would look to you. Father, help us this week. Continue to teach us, Lord. We are your sheep. We're weak. We need you. I pray, dear God, that you would go with us now in every single thing this week that we need. And Lord God, cause us to look to you in faith. And I pray, dear God, as we read your word, I pray that you would develop that faith more and more each day. Help us to share the hope and the faith that we have in you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. If you're here for the